Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi again, everyone. Welcome into the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. I'm Mark Shinowski, joined by my partners on our pre- and post-game coverage, Kendall Gill and Will Perdue. And it was an interesting four-game homestand. The Bulls, I thought, played extremely hard. There were a lot of encouraging signs during the four games, but the mark of a young team, it's tough to finish those close games against more experienced opponents.
It is, and you could tell in the Denver game also, the game against
Indiana.
The Indiana Pacers, that they weren't used to closing out. In particular, Zach LaVine. You know, Zach has been playing great basketball, but at the end of the games, he is not sure how to get it done. You know, time after time, all throughout the season, basically, he's been in a position where he has a big man at the top of the key and actually selects to take a three-point shot instead of taking him all the way to the basket. With his athleticism and the way that he can jump and his speed and the way that he can handle the basketball, it should be an easy thing to do. But unfortunately, he isn't there yet. But I think that he will soon get it after going over film work and talking to the coaches. Listen, this is your first option, drive to the basket. This is your second option.
Drive to the basket.
No, mid-range. This is your third option. Pull up and take the three.
Well, Fred mentioned it before the game against Houston on Saturday night. He says, we want Zach to attack the rim
right
in those end-of-game situations with the game on the line. So the coaching staff is telling him, go to the basket. But when you run that 1-4 flat, sometimes you see all the defense loading up on you. You're trying to figure out where to go.
Yes, and I think that because of when teams are scouting the Bulls, they see what the Bulls' option is. Not options,
right,
plural, but option singular. And that is the ball in Zach LaVine's hands. And they know that he's going to be the guy or attempt to be the guy to win these games. So the defenses can stack up on him and try to take the ball out of his hands or force him to take some very tough shots, what we've seen. Also, and I think Kendall will say that we'll agree with this as well, players can be a little stubborn, have a little bit of an ego. In the sense that I understand the coaches are telling me attack, 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 attack. But, hey, man, I can hit the mid-range jumper. Mm-hmm. I can hit the three. Let me show you what else I can do. Because if you go back to the very first time this happened and the Detroit game, he'd already predetermined what he was going to do regardless of who was guarding him.
When he got a switch with Blake Griffin.
Yeah, he was going to knock down the three and win the game. I understand that going into the play, but when you reverse pivot and you see that now you have a big on you, that's got to change, and you're going to be, oh, I got a big on me. I got to put it on the deck, and I got to look to attack. I don't know whether I got to dance and get him on roller skates and then go by or just immediately go by, but then that's when I got to attack, get to the rim, because then when help comes, I can finish over those guys or find the open man for the uncontested jumper.
And then Friday against Indiana, they run pick and roll, and Miles Turner, 6'11", switches out onto him and makes a baseline shot almost impossible to hit.
But with Zach's athleticism, he turned it into an okay shot. But I would rather have seen him refuse the pick and roll and just take Victor Oladipo one-on-one. And that's not an easy feat to do, seeing as how good Victor Oladipo is on the defensive end. And Victor Oladipo has some dog in him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not exactly going to let or give anything away to Zach on the defensive end. I wanted to see that one-on-one duel.
You know, the interesting thing is, Kendall, and I'll refer to you, but this is what I've noticed to a certain extent, and it's easy for me to say this from the outside looking in. But you may have had this in your game from day one. When you see slender, athletic guys that are explosive.
Right.
And can more times than not get by guys. Mm-hmm. But yet, when defenses start stacking up on them, and they know in the back of their head that if I'm going to get into the paint or if I'm going to try to get to the basket, they're going to physically make me pay.
Right.
Guys have a tendency to kind of shy away from that a little bit.
Sometimes.
At what point in your career did you realize that, okay, I understand if I'm going to take it into the paint, I'm going to pay for that physically, but that's what I have to do regardless of what I think I can do, but that's my best option.
Yeah, I understood that in high school, you know, because that's what type of basketball that I played. But, you know, I totally understand what you're saying. I played with a guy by the name of Kerry Kittles who was slender like that, who had the ability to get into the lane. And believe me, he did not want any part of the contact when he got there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even in my time with playing with him for maybe 4 or 5 years, he never got there, you know. But I think that Zach and Chandler Hutchinson, for that reason, I think that they have it in them already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that sooner rather than later, they're going to adapt and adjust to what's happening to them. Go to the lane, take the punishment, either score the basket, get fouled, or dish to a teammate.
And that being said, you know, I will also give him credit. You know, he went three straight games of 3 for 4, 4 for 4,
yeah,
4 for 4. Tonight he went to the line 13 times. So he kind of got back into,
right,
because he was struggling to score, he got into the lane, got the contact, and even though he was frustrated, continued to get himself in that position to at least score points from the free throw line.
Yeah.
Of course, the Bulls are waiting on reinforcements. Denzel Valentine got a positive report on the bone scan done on his injured left ankle. He's going to return to full-time practice coming up in the next few days. Hopefully, he'll be back to game activity in a week to 10 days. Maybe that's a little bit overly optimistic. Lauri Markkanen, 5 weeks out from his elbow injury. Hopefully, he's back by Thanksgiving. And then the two guys who suffered the MCL sprains, Bobby Portis and Chris Dunn, are probably out till December. So what I'm trying to get at is the Bulls are 2-8, and You have a young team here.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure they don't get so dispirited to the point where they start giving away games that they have a good chance to win because they go in there,
right,
not feeling like they have a legitimate chance, mm-hmm, to win. How do you guard against that?
Well, I think you point to these three games. You know, they were in a game against three playoff teams, Denver, Indiana, and now Houston. So when you go into a game, say, for instance, the New York Knicks game coming up Monday, guys, we have to go in here and win this game. This is a must game for us because this is a team that's right now not a playoff team, and we played those other guys hard, and we battled them down to the end. We just couldn't finish. This is a game that we can win and win handily. Let's go in there and take care of business.
And this is where, and let's make this very clear, we don't know whether this is happening or not, but there has to be somebody in that locker room, and we're not 100% who that is, and this could actually be happening. But it can't just be on the coaches. It's got to be on the players, as
mm-hmm,
far as Kendall is talking about. Who is that player that's reaching out to these guys and being like, all right, guys, listen, I understand it's disappointing we've lost some games this week that we had a golden opportunity to win. We just couldn't get over the hump. But we do have the New York Knicks coming, a team that we are better than. But we have to play better and play as a team in order to beat them. Is there somebody having that verbal conversation with guys, whether it be on the bus, on the plane? Are they texting each other? You know, my understanding is from a text that Kelly sent to all of us, the Bulls are not having practice tomorrow. So there will be some guys that will go into the practice facility and get shots up and get treatment. And there will be some guys that totally just don't show up at all and try to get that the mental break that they need. Is there somebody reaching out to them from a player standpoint that's kind of – taking the reins and being like, hey, we're right there. We're on the cusp of being able to win some games. Now we just have to be able to continue to believe in ourselves and get ourselves over the hump. So, hey, in New York, if it's late in the fourth quarter, we have to rely on ourselves as a group to be able to make a stop or two and then score on the other end of the floor, and we can do that.
Well, I know I ran into Denzel Valentine before the Indiana game on Friday, and you know, he was updated me on his condition, and then he said, the attitude is great in the locker room. He said that, you know, guys believe that we can win. It's unfortunate we've had the early season injuries, but they feel like when they get back to full strength in December, they're a good team, and they can beat a lot of other NBA teams right now. So I don't think the team is going to get to the point where they're going to start hanging their heads and pointing fingers. I think they're going to stick together, and I think they're going to be okay.
I feel the same way. They know that they're shorthanded, you know, and that the frustration is setting in because they don't have all their guys. So – in the locker room, I would I would be positive too. The only way I would not be positive is if they had another game like they did against the Golden State Warriors where
right.
the effort wasn't there. That's when you start having the negativity. But, you know, you look at the other games, I think that they played relatively well. It's just the inexperience and youth did not allow them to close those games out.
Before we wrap up on the Bulls, I want to talk about the two first-round draft picks. Wendell Carter Jr. seems to be getting better almost each and every night. His basketball IQ is extremely high. He's very solid on the defensive end. And he had a 25-point game during the homestand. So he's improving in all areas. And Chandler Hutchison is very dangerous in transition. Had a couple of dunks against the Houston Rockets. Very athletic. He also can get out and switch and defend multiple positions. So, you know, if Bulls fans are looking for positives during this 2-8 start, it looks like the front office hit on these two first-round draft picks, and they're going to be a part of this team's future.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, we were talking about Chandler Hutchison maybe going down to the Windy City Bulls at the G League. I don't think that you take him down there.
Right.
You know, because now he's shown really that he can play on this level right now. You know, yes, his shot does need some work, but I think technically his shot is good. He just needs to learn how to shoot it faster. But you cannot argue with the way he can get to the basket and the way he can get out on the fast break. And, you know, I'll leave the big man to Will.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I mean, when a guy is picked in the lottery, you have expectations. And a guy that we were questioning whether, you know, he's ready to be put in the starting lineup or not, because we assume that, okay, it's going to be Lopez for probably 15 or 20 games while Wendell Carter gets his feet wet. And then basically, you know, Robin then goes to the bench. But Fred made a decision because of what he saw in the preseason that their best option to win, and I agree with this, was to start Wendell Carter. And we talked about how he was kind of deferring a little bit too much early on in the first couple games. But what we've seen late, though, is what we had of expectations of him, like maybe mid-season. We knew from the beginning that he could switch out on guys and guard guys out on the perimeter. We saw it in the Rockets game tonight where he was able to switch out on Chris Paul. He was able to switch out on James Harden. I think both of those guys actually missed shots, and they were contested shots, but he moves his feet laterally. But now what we've seen and I've really enjoyed is the growth on the offensive end. He can shoot it from 15 to 18 feet, even though the first, I think, three games he passed up a lot of open shots because he was talking about, hey, I got to find my way. I don't want to aggravate the veterans. I want to make sure they get plenty of touches and plenty of shots. But if defenses are going to do what they've been doing, and that's focus on Zach, you have to take what's given to you. So now we've seen him come up through the lane and knock down that 15 to 18 footer in the top of the key free throw line area. He's knocked down that 15 to 18 footer from the baseline, so he's got that in his repertoire. He's done a nice job of getting smaller players down into the block and, you know, left hand hook, right hand hook, and also at times, you know, he's gone after offensive rebounds to get putbacks. And, you know, I think he's realized that, hey, I can play with these guys. I'm strong enough. There's some bigger guys out there. You know, he struggled with Jokic when he started to back him down in the second half, but so does everybody else in the league. So I think you've seen his confidence grow as well. So, again, we talked about Lauri Markkanen last year taking advantage of the playing time, and all of a sudden we're like, man, this guy's an all-star. The future is bright for him. We have the same exact thoughts. Maybe not to that extent, but we're like, hey, this guy deserves to play. When Markkanen comes back, when Portis comes back, Fred has to find minutes for this for Wendell Carter Jr. And I think because of what's happened over the last four games and the growth of Chandler Hutchison, he needs to be in the rotation as well.
Your Bulls, your way, anywhere, anytime. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Stream games and get the best Bulls coverage in Chicago at your fingertips. Download the My Teams app today.
You're listening to the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. Mark Schanowski, Kendall Gill, Will Perdue with you. A lot of things happened in the league this week, but we got to touch on what happened Wednesday night in the Twin Cities. Derrick Rose turned back the clock, exploded for 50 points, and nobody was cheering him on. You were looking at phone updates throughout the game to see what he would finish with.
I was calling out his points.
And he got to half 100. That was an amazing display.
It was an amazing display because you look at what Derrick has been through, leaving Chicago, going to New York. Going AWOL, but still averaging 18 points a game over there as the third option. Then going to Cleveland and having what I thought was a good start to the season where he was averaging 14 points a game. Then having Isaiah Thomas come in, who I didn't feel was better than him, Then he goes to the bench, and that, and then they trade him, and Utah waves him. And
yeah.
He's thinking, hold up, wait a minute. I'm the former MVP. how can I get waived by a team that really could use me? And then has to wait it out. No teams contact him except for one. That's Minnesota, where his old coach gives him a chance. And if Tom Thibodeau isn't there, I'm not sure he gets picked up last year. But he comes in. He does extremely well in the playoffs, playing out of position. Then comes in this season, plays out of position again, but still is
after
playing
a
well.
Long summer of hard
after
work.
A long summer of hard work, is still averaging 14 points a game in limited minutes. Then all of a sudden, Jeff Teague is hurt. He doesn't start. Jimmy Butler is out. Tyus Jones was out. And you say, and Thib says, hey, Derek, you know what? Play your old position. I'm going to give you the ball back. And the guy goes out and drops 50.
Oh.
Okay? So this was really the first time that he's played point guard exclusively since he's been in New York. And, you know, I'm just happy for him. And, you know, a lot of people were down on him, but I always knew that he could still play. You know, his contemporaries know that he can still play. And he proved that Wednesday night.
Well, you knew about, when you talked about his contemporaries, his peers, the outpouring on Twitter and social media.
Oh, yeah, that was great to see.
Yep. As far as how they reacted when, you know, word was going out through the league that he got 50.
Yep.
The one thing we've always talked about, and it's prefaced this, we know he can play, but we always preface it, if he can stay healthy. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately for him, that hasn't been the case, in the sense that we don't even – what is the terminology? I think when we talk about Derek, we need to change the terminology about what is healthy for him, mm-hmm. because unfortunately the number of injuries that he has. It was awesome to see. Unfortunately, the next night he comes out and only plays 5 minutes against Golden State because, you know, he has tenderness in his ankle.
So, and that was probably a direct carryover from playing 41 minutes and carrying the team on his back Wednesday night.
Right. Well, he had four guys piled on his back, so that was pretty difficult.
He even blocked a shot at the end that you know, could have tied the game.
But I think he just sent a message, as Kendall said. He said, hey, I can still play in this league. But what I also loved was, I also think from a mentality standpoint, that he this is probably one of the first times that it seems like he's his head is really clear.
Right.
It always seems like there had always been a cloud over his head for some reason. Something was always distracting him. He wasn't always 100%, you know, I don't want to say focused, but there always seemed to be something, you know, in his path.
Right.
Well, his trainer, Rob McClanahan, said that in the workouts this past summer in L.A., he said the love for the game came back for Derek. He looked like he was pre-injury, where he looked forward to every workout. Mm-hmm. You could see the joy in his game as he was going through the different drills and everything. So, you know, he showed that he wanted to play basketball again. He wanted to play it at a really high level.
And that's what it looks like, you know. And you know, I was really looking forward to him playing against Steph Curry, but unfortunately the ankle tenderness, and the first thing came to mind, I was like, damn Adidas. You know, he should have signed with Nike. You know, but hopefully for Derek, you know, this is just a minor thing where he probably felt his ankle a little bit sore, and he didn't want to push it to the point where he would get really seriously injured. I can understand that. But the jury is still out. I mean, he was injured the very next game. Yeah.
And then, of course, we saw Jimmy Butler on the sideline waving a towel as the Golden State was pulling away from the game in the fourth quarter. Jimmy is just hell-bent on getting out of the Twin Cities, but Tom Thibodeau is just as stubborn as Jimmy is, so this thing could linger for a long time. And the unfortunate unintended consequences are the team is, you know, floundering around 500, and this is a team that has a tremendous amount of talent on the roster, but we may never see what they're capable of until they make some kind of resolution of Jimmy's status.
They have to do something, because even after the towel waving incident, Jimmy did a press conference after the game and said that, you know, he'll decide whether he's going to play in back-to-backs. Well, you know, I've never heard that from a player. Players don't decide that. You know, coaches and trainers decide that. Once they get the information of how injured the players are, then they decide, well, why don't you sit this one out? You know, and really hardcore players, and the way that Jimmy portrays himself, why are you taking back-to-backs off? I thought you were a tough guy.
Right.
You know? Thought you're a tough guy, wringing your shirt out on social media.
Showing everybody how hard you work out.
Showing everybody how hard you work. Why are you taking days
off? But you know, the interesting thing is, you know, one of our cohorts, Nick Friedel, who was covering the Bulls, is now out in San Francisco covering Golden State, talked about after that game, the tension in the locker room was palpable. He said it's just – it is amazing that these guys can even get out on the floor and play. And he, as he said, that this team – we're not going to be able to see what this team is capable of until Jimmy is gone because of the fact that he is just, in my opinion, now he's become a distraction. And you know that – these guys, because
he's way past the distraction now. But he's pretty much torpedoed that locker room. Yes.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. But you know, as these guys go from town to town for the first time,
because
the season's too early, the same question looms. These guys know when they get into the locker room and when the locker room's open and when it's time to talk to the media, they know what the question's going to be. Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Butler. And I'm sure these guys are tired of talking about it. And at some point, you know, we always talk about you go into a locker room and you're like, where is everybody? They're all going to be hiding in the trainer's
sure.
room, not talking to the media. But I have to give Thibodeau credit. Somehow he's been able to hold out this long when the owner had basically stepped up and said, I'm taking the phone calls. If you're interested in a trade, call me. But yet Jimmy is still there.
You know, one last thing on Nick Friedell. Did you see on SportsCenter he got the featured interview?
Yeah, I saw
he
that.
He sat down with Derrick Rose. Nick had a nice suit and a pocket square. His hair was nice.
What is it? He moves out to the West Coast, then he just starts to become sophisticated?
I think he got a big raise is what happened.
Because
he was able to buy some nice clothes, and Nick was looking sharp. Of course, he's always been a good friend of ours, and we wish him all the best in the Bay Area. He was back here. He saw the Klay Thompson 52-point game on Monday, and he got out of town with the rest of the Warriors, you know, laughing and grinning all the way. So we wish Nick all the best, and hopefully the Bulls come up with a couple of wins this week. They're going to be at New York, at New Orleans, and the Cleveland Cavaliers come in town on Saturday. So thanks for listening to the Bulls Talk Podcast. Remember, you can find all of our shows at NBCSportsChicago.com/podcast. You can also listen and subscribe at Apple, Google Play, and Stitcher. So long, everybody.